What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless Podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And oh boy.
Welcome to 2022.
Yes, we made it. We're here. Made it. We have survived.
Oh my God, it's a miracle. And and you guys, we're starting off this first episode of the year with me having a big old fuck up. I got to let you guys know going into this episode that you won't hear my voice for the first like 10 minutes of our guest interview today because a bitch missed her alarm. My alarm went off. We, full disclosure, we're recording really early in the morning. My alarm went off. I've been getting over a cold and I turned the alarm off and then set a new one for 30 minutes later. And guess what? That new alarm was for PM, not AM, because I made it half asleep. And I'm letting you know right now, I was an idiot and I feel so bad that I overslept accidentally. So you won't hear me the first 10 minutes of the episode. And then I come in.
You come like in hot though, baby. You come in hot with all kinds of juicy shit. You came ready. In
like an absolute hurricane. I look like I was born at a gas station. I look so rough right now. I threw a hat on. I put my glasses on and we're here. So anyway,
hey, you
YouTube.
Made it.
YouTube, go easy on me this episode, all right? Don't give me shit.
Before we started recording, Kelsey said, "New year, same old shit." So, hey, we're making it happen. We have, seriously, what an incredible guest. Rachel
What an
DeAlto.
Incredible guest, man.
Oh my gosh, Rachel is a relationship and communication expert, media personality, speaker. She's the author of Relatable, How to Connect with Anyone, Anywhere, Even if it Scares You. And I gotta be honest, I first fell in love with her on one of my favorite guilty pleasure shows, Married at First Sight. I saw her and I was like, oh gosh, I wonder if she would ever do Self-Helpless. And then, because this was the Patreon community voted on this topic to have a relationship coach on. I was like, oh my God, I wonder if Rachel would do it. And she said yes. So that was really exciting for me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I watch you on TV and here you are in front of me.
We got so lucky. And by the way, what like, just to come into the pod 10 minutes late today and like you and her are looking both just so beautiful, so put together. She looks like she is on like currently on a television show for the podcast episode, like just so gorgeous. And I was so embarrassed. I was like, hey.
It happens. It happens, you know?
And we have, like, everybody's drunk cousin that, like, just couldn't get it together in time.
The drunk cousin is always the most entertaining one, let's be real, though. Yeah, you know, you may have seen Rachel on the Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, Access Hollywood, Steve Harvey Show, all the things, really.
All the things.
So
she's incredible.
Before we get into the episode, Kelsey, do you have any announcements besides the fact that you're going to get better at setting your alarms?
It has not happened in like maybe a year. I feel like it's been a long time since I pulled like a PM over an AM thing. It's been a minute, but you know, this again, it's called self-helpless. Sometimes we fuck up. Sometimes it happens.
Okay.
So my tour is continuing. The Hustler tour is continuing in 2022, as you guys know. There might, by the time this comes out, there might be some new dates added for January. But I know for sure I'm at Comics Roadhouse in Uncasville, Connecticut. I think I've been saying Uncasville. Somebody was like, I think it's Uncasville. I don't know.
Oh,
January 27th through the 29th. And then Valentine's weekend, February 11th through the 14th, I will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the new club that is reopening there. So many tour dates coming up. Go to kelseycook.com. Get your tickets, and I would just love to see you on the road.
Oh, that's fantastic. And if it's the new year officially, that means Aficionado the Process is officially live at DelaneyFisher.com. It is my signature process for increasing your revenue, your visibility, your credibility without having to rely on all the mainstream bullshit. Perfect package for introverted business owners and people who just want to feel like they have more control over the direction of their business. So check it out over there.
Yay!
And I'm really excited. And the results have been really cool. And yeah, just excited about the whole thing.
I'm so happy for you. I'm proud of you and excited.
Thank you.
You've been working very hard on it.
Oh, been trying. Well, have we done all the things?
We've done all the things. And now it's time for our interview with the amazing Rachel D'Auto. Enjoy.
Rachel, thank you so much for being here today. So excited to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. I can't believe you woke up for me.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bright and early. I mean, I just told you before we recorded, but I found you on Married at First Sight, one of my guilty pleasures. And I was like,
no judgment.
I wonder if she would do the show. And here you are. So let's just dig right in. Do you have a favorite or least favorite quote?
I do. I feel bad saying least favorite. So I'm going to go with favorite quote just Perfect. Because I am all about evolution and growth. That's kind of a jam. And so it's Great. A Maya Angelou quote, which makes me very cliche. I'm sure everybody, we've got a lot of Maya lovers out there.
Oh, yes.
But it's do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better.
I love that one. It pertains to everything, literally yep. everything in our life. Love it. Such a good
yep.
one.
Get it together and do better,
yes.
people.
Yes.
Look at that. And straight out of the gate, I'm already yelling at people.
Yes. Especially in your relationships, you know?
Yes. Time to do better.
Awesome. Why don't we just start off with some basics? What is relationship coaching and how does that compare to, you know, marriage counseling or something like that if somebody's just learning about it for the first time?
Yeah. So, I mean, relationship coaching is really just working with people, whether it's an individual or a couple in their relationships. It could be however they show up. I don't do coaching per se anymore, but when I was coaching, sometimes it was an individual because their partner would not do coaching. So they had to change, you know, their approach and how they showed up and set their boundaries and, you know, worked on themselves, because even as an individual, you actually create such a ripple effect in your relationship. So it could be in an individual basis, or it could be as a couple, like couples,
okay.
more like couples therapy.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but it's all around their relationship with themselves and with other people and all that jazz.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm assuming that you've probably helped tons of people, whether romantic relationships, familial friendships, coworker, boss, all that stuff. What are some common kind of issues that you've seen and some common solutions to those issues once people implement them?
Yeah. And this is something I talk about often. I wrote about in my book is it really always comes down to worth. In every situation, it is a worth issue more oftentimes than not. So the way that we show up changes based on how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about our own worthiness. And so whether you're talking about a corporate setting or a personal setting or a romantic setting, if you don't know who you are and you are not comfortable in your own skin and just have that level of confidence, you're going to show up differently. And we all have different, someone listening is probably like, crap, I don't have any of those things. And that's totally normal. And that's why it's so universal, is like, we all have these challenges around self-worth and self-love.
Oh, so true. I know I can speak for myself in relationships. Once I started feeling more confident and kind of knew my worth, I started kind of demanding to be treated better, in my relationship. And then the ones that weren't a fit didn't work out. And then the one that was, who is my now husband, he rose to that. So that makes a lot of sense that really is like the ground, the starting level for all of us. I'm curious to know, out of, everybody that you've helped and worked with, what is like one of the biggest transformations that you have seen, or if there's any that kind of stick out to you where somebody was really kind of discouraged about their relationship and then, what happened?
Yeah. I mean, my gosh, there's so many situations that come to mind, and I wrote about a lot of them. So I'm like, I don't want to use those because I feel like they're already out there. But I had, I think one of the most interesting ones, because a lot of times when people are talking to a coach or a therapist or, someone to help them wherever they are in their relationship space, they often feel like they have to get their partner involved. And one of my biggest transformations was someone whose their husband was not involved. And was completely disconnected from any sort of evolution or growth or, all of those things. But she changed so much that their entire relationship changed. How he was showing up shifted even just subconsciously because she showed up differently, and he started showing up better. He started being a better husband, being a better partner because of her own evolution all by herself. And you just saw this woman go from, in a really tough spot, in a really bad place, and, suffering from anxiety and depression, and then shift out of it into this butterfly, essentially. And so it changed the way everybody acted around her. And that was just the coolest thing. It's that ripple effect that you oftentimes don't even expect, because you're like, I'm just working on me. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know if this relationship is going to last. And now they're happier than ever. And it's a really interesting thing to see, because I think oftentimes we're like, why don't you come with me? Why aren't you buying into this? And sometimes, not to say they shouldn't, but sometimes they don't have to.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you don't have to have the whole family coming in for coaching sessions for it to have a huge impact. You can really just start with yourself. This might be for selfish reasons I'm asking, but as far as married couples that you've worked with, what are some things that you have suggested people try to really keep that like novelty and excitement alive throughout a long-term relationship?
Yeah. Well, one, it's recognizing that there's going to be an ebb and flow. I think oftentimes relationships end because we think that people are supposed to be entertaining to us at all times. And, one of my TikToks that hit a million recently was basically saying like, this is not like, they're not here to entertain you. Like, this is not a circus. They are not your monkeys.
Right.
This is not. So I think part of it's recognizing like, it's going to be boring sometimes, and that's okay. Yeah. So that mixed with the effort of making it not boring all the time, you want to like a mix. Like if you just sit around twiddling your thumbs and you're bored out of your mind, we're not going anywhere in this relationship either. But knowing that, there is going to be an ebb and flow, but I can put the effort in, I can make this, as exciting as I want it to be. So staycations, just going back to the basics of, writing them notes, leaving flowers, whatever their love language is. And that's something that's really important too, is understanding everybody gives and receives differently. And so Gary Chapman's book, I think it's amazing. Five love languages. Everybody should read that. Everybody, I feel like, has at this point.
So good. So good. Yes. I'm an acts of service gal myself.
Yes. Yeah. So like someone, your husband shows up with diamonds every day. You'd be like, that's cool. But like, could you empty the dishwasher, man?
Exactly. And I love the fact that it really is just those simple, basic things. I think people can get really overwhelmed, or they're like, oh my gosh, I have to do all these grand gestures. But when my husband surprises me with a cup of tea that he made downstairs, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the luckiest woman alive.
Exactly.
Really, it can be so very simple. Yeah. I know we just did an episode about long distance relationships and tips about that. Recently, my co-host led that one. And do you have any kind of tips or guidance for people who are in a long distance relationship right now, whether it's because of the pandemic or otherwise, what could maybe help them if they're struggling?
Yeah, this is another viral TikTok.
Oh my gosh, I have like
that is my new jam over there. Like I hang out on TikTok all day, every day now. Awesome. But no, it's just crazy because it blew out of the water everything else, because there's so many long distance relationships out there. People are so, yes, you know, there's a lot of insecurity in it because you don't get the same interaction. You don't get the same quality time with each other, especially if quality time is your love language. That's problematic. So it's really two things. You have to be able to communicate what you need. And actually, it's kind of three things. Communicate what you need. Let them know, you know, what you need to feel secure in this relationship, because there's already a breach of security based on proximity. And the fact that you're not as close, you know, you don't get that same affirmation as seeing your partner once a week or once, you know, every day or a couple times a week or a couple times a month. So communicating that, putting that effort in to reach their needs, whatever that level is that you need to get to, but also there has to be an end date of when the distance ends, because perpetuity kills every long distance relationship. When you are just in it and there's no discussion about who's moving or we are both moving or wherever the end goal is, we're just in a loop, and then resentment builds and then it ends. And so it's so important, once you've hit that stage of like, no, this is my person. I want to be with them for, you know, forever is a long time, but maybe it's, you know, I intend to be with this person as far as I can see, you know, have those conversations. And oftentimes we don't have those conversations because we're afraid of the answers, but aren't you afraid of diving into something and being, you know, 3 years down the road and you never talked about who would move where and you find out that they're not going anywhere and neither are you?
Right. And do you feel like those are important, obviously, so you're not, you know, wasting your time, but also something to look forward to, something to kind of build on and work towards, even though you're really far apart or not seeing each other much? Okay. So going off of that, when do you feel like it's kind of time for people to go their separate ways? Are there any kind of clear indicators that it's time to break up or separate or divorce or whatever it might be?
In long distance or just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when the bad far outweighs the good, and there's no attempting to shift that balance. And it just, you know, you get to that point where there's just no good times. Even when you're really struggling to find them can be an indicator that this is really problematic. And it really comes down to, you know, is there a salvageable shot here? And if there is there an investment? And so oftentimes, you know, and that does become problematic when there's only one person invested in making the effort. But really, if there isn't any good left, or there's a smidgen of good and nobody's actually working to grow that good, then what are we doing here?
Yes. And then I guess since you mentioned it, what about in a long distance relationship? Are there clear indicators where like you can't solidify a date or when we're moving, or how does that
work? Yeah. I mean, you have that conversation, and if nobody's willing to compromise and that's not happening, then you have to really reassess, like, am I fine being apart from my partner forever? And listen, I'm one of those people, like, whatever you choose to do, like, good on you, like, make it work. You know, you want to have a throuple, go for it. You want to be, you know, right, across the country for the rest of your life, then if that works for you, I'm not here to judge it, but both parties, or in a throuple, all three parties,
right.
they have to be on the same page. And if you can't get on the same page and you refuse to really compromise there, then again, what are we doing here?
Yes. So true. All right. So a big reason why people don't work out: money. That's a big one. So what has been kind of your experience with that, with couples or relationships, and what are some things, you know, some takeaways people can maybe implement if that's what they're struggling with?
Yeah. So it's these uncomfortable conversations. We have like this desire to put our head in the sand, and then all of a sudden we're like, wait, why is it broken? I was like, because you never talked about it.
Right.
So, you know, you have to communicate and you have to talk about and observe. That's the other thing is, you know, you see very early on, and anyone who's ever dated someone for more than a month, you see how they spend. You see how they show up, you see what they drive, you see what they tip, you see, you know, how they're interacting with the world with their money. So you see so many things early on. But then as you get into relationships, it's more talking about it and talking about finances. And it's not necessarily a difference in finance. It's often a difference in priority. And so you have to make sure that, to me, values need to align, and how you spend your money shows where your values are oftentimes. And so that's something that's really important to just not only observe and be aware of, but also communicate around.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting, you might be dating somebody and they're like, oh, they're a great tipper and they drive a nice car. And then you get in a relationship, you're like, oh, you're $60,000 in debt. That is going to affect me in some way.
Yeah, be like, dude, you're driving a Ferrari and you work at Starbucks. Like, what are we doing here?
Something's not adding up here. So Rachel, because of COVID, quarantine, all this stuff, there's like virtual dating. That's like this whole new thing that really kind of amplified this last couple of years. How do you do that successfully without it feeling like you're talking to, a fake person?
You know what I have to say? So this is my thing about virtual dating. I think it's awesome. It's a great filler. Like, obviously, just, you know, like the long distance stuff, you can't do it forever, like, you know, unless you're okay with that. Again, not judging. But you really do get to see somebody in a very different way than you would if you're just texting them, because people can hide behind their keyboards, pretend to be somebody else, show up differently in their energy. Everything is very different when it's just text message. So I loved that everybody started to embrace video, and it's interesting. So I'm a Match spokesperson, and we talked a lot in the beginning of the pandemic about this video dating. And it was like, I think 6 or 7% of people before COVID would go on a video date or even jump on a FaceTime before a date. And it went up to like, I think it was like over 80% within like 3 weeks. People were like, nope, I'm in. Like, let me do this, because it was the mother, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. But I think you can show up. You just have to show up and like you are going on a date. And that's the thing. It's, I think oftentimes, you know, we've gotten so used to this Zoom culture, and trust me, I'm a hot mess 95% of the time, and the other 5, it's just from the waist up now. and I'm okay with that, but I'm not going on dates. you know, I think if you're, I'm seeing people, like people sent me screenshots and where they have, you know, the camera's in this weird angle, there's crap in the background of their room. And I'm like, dude, just clean your room. Right. You know, like, it's so simple. Like, otherwise, just have a conversation. Right. And the other thing too, and I have to say this, now on my soapbox, I have to say, hide yourself. If you are on a Zoom, if you're on a FaceTime, if you're on a lot of the in-apps, like Match has Vibe Check. If you're in the app, like, don't look at yourself, because then you're not engaging with the other people. Oh. You're completely ignoring them. And studies show you actually censor yourself more, you judge yourself more, and you judge them more. So it completely messes with our psyche. So hide yourself as much as possible, and I guarantee you every interaction will completely change.
Holy shit. I did not even think about that.
Oh my God.
I can feel that way right now about podcasting. I'm like, oh God, my glasses look weird. Oh my God. Like, listen to Rachel. Oh, wait a minute. My sweater. You
know, like, oh my God. Right? It's the most distracting thing. Can you imagine? Because we are not meant to see ourselves when we're having a conversation. We're not meant to see ourselves on a date. Can you imagine if we actually had like a mirror? I mean, sometimes you go on a date, you go to a bar and you see like they have the mirror background behind the bar. How many times are you checking your reflection? And how many times are you like adjusting how you sit or what you say, because your face looks weird when you say that, you know, like,
oh my God,
it's just,
you guys are just like, sometimes I look weird from the waist down. And I'm like, today, the whole thing for me today. And like, I hate that I can't even see myself right now.
Block it out. I hide myself all the time. I'll move like the notes thing on my computer. I'll hide that over it. I'll grab a post-it note. Smart. I don't want to see myself ever. Like,
oh my gosh, that is so smart. And I feel like, gosh, what a way to get out of your head when you're on a date. And like you said, just clean one corner of your room. I mean, come on, just a little bit of effort. You know,
it's not that hard, people. It's not that hard.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Can I ask why hiding yourself would also make you less critical of the other person?
You know what? I actually don't know why. I don't know why, but there's research. So they were doing research on this. I'm a data nerd. It's the entire reason I got a master's in psych was just for access to like the library. I started doing research around it. I was like, what does this do? They were saying that like just hiding yourself, it changes, I guess, because I would assume if you're criticizing yourself, you're going to criticize other people. It kind of just enters this spiral of negativity. I'd have to pull up that article. But yeah, it makes you a hot mess. So don't do it.
It also makes you so hyper vigilant because especially on FaceTime, if your phone's here and then you move a little bit and you bring your phone here and all of a sudden you have four chins, then you're feeling like, oh, fuck. Okay, now I have four chins. I have to bring my hand back up here. And now I don't want to move.
By the way.
It hurts. It's not normal. We're all giving ourselves like carpal tunnel. This is not normal. Right. This is hard. It's such a strange thing. I didn't even realize you could hide yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some programs. I thought Zoom had a capability. I keep trying to find it, and I go old school and throw a post-it note up. But a lot of the online platforms have been creating opportunities to hide yourself. And listen, you should check yourself, you know, before, just like you go to a date, you're going to look in the mirror before you walk in, make sure there's nothing in your teeth. You should make sure you're cool, but then stop, because you're not doing yourself a favor and being able to just sit there and stare at yourself. And there's a reason why we stare at ourselves, because psychologically we search for the familiarest face. I don't think familiarist is a word, but you get where I'm going.
We'll allow it. I love it.
Most familiar face. And it's you. You are the most familiar face.
What a good tip just for life. Don't look at yourself too much.
Stop staring at yourself. You're messing it up.
That just blew my mind. That really blew my mind.
Yes.
Because that makes so much sense to me. Good morning. No. I mean, I don't drink caffeine anyway, but I wouldn't, especially now, because I just woke up and I've had my mind liquefied by this information. That makes so much sense to me. We just did an episode about long distance, and I have found myself in a couple of those situations in the past year because of where I live now. What in your mind is like the time mark of when it needs to stop being long distance and two people need to kind of decide if they're going to live in the same place? Did we already discuss this?
No. Okay. And honestly, I mean, it's such a tough question to answer because there's always different circumstances. And, you know, I've worked with a couple who, because of a job, they were going to be separated for 3 years and they knew that, which is really hard, but they were able to work through it. The job opportunity was too great. She couldn't leave where she was. He had to go take it. And so they did weekends, every other weekend for like 3 years until it ended. So it's hard to say, like, you know, after a certain amount of time, but it's really your personal endpoint. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with whatever that is that you set. And I just I always ask people is like, you have to weigh it all. You know, if there is, maybe you say, listen, babe, like after a year, we have to get this together. Like I can't do this anymore. And they might say, okay, I can't do a year, but like, give me 18 months. And then it's like, okay, well then it's 18 months. And then there's at least, but there has to be that conversation around it. And also you'll know when it just feels like it's too much. And then I also say sleep on that for 48 hours because hormones and feelings and mercury,
and like, retrograde,
like there's a lot of shit that gets in our heads. So I'm like, listen, make sure that you still have those feelings 48 hours later. But if you do, then it's time to say I'm reaching my breaking point. And it's okay. You know, we're all human.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
You got it. I have a question about, you know, when, let's say that somebody, they're in a pattern and they keep kind of attracting a similar type of person and they're just like, oh, I just have the worst luck and I don't know what's going on. What is something that they can kind of look at and, you know, make some changes around?
Well, I mean, they're choosing someone, you know, so I think it's really going back, and a retrospect is awesome. So take that look back and say, okay, what did I see early on? If you have a pattern of, you know, F-boys or, you know, non-committers or narcissists or whatever it is.
Me in my 20s.
You're like all three. All of them. But if you have a pattern of that, you're seeing something. And it, you know, it's the same thing with the financial stuff that we were talking about. You're putting your head in the sand because typically of attraction, I swear people will be like, I don't care that they've killed seven people and you know, I'm going to be their eighth. Like they're really hot. And so attraction becomes this, like this blinding light. So you have to turn that off and say, what did I see beforehand? And what can I be on the lookout for moving forward? And this is something I preach about in general, which is that intentionality. And so it is one thing to just go out there and think with your body, because your body will respond to certain people. They might not be your people. And so when you're intentional and saying, I want to date someone of substance, I want to date someone with integrity, I want to date someone that's not like all the people I just dated, you have to pay attention to it. And you know, how I liken it is I love me some Marshalls and TJ Maxx. However, the place gives me anxiety. Like I walk in there and I want to organize shit. And like, I'm like, you got 18 different kinds of shirts over here. Nothing's in the right spot. Color coordinated, not happening. And honestly, like that's one of those places. If you don't know what you're going in there for, you walk out with like shampoo, a chair, and like some candy. However, if you walk into Marshalls or TJ Maxx and you say, I want a blue shirt, like today is my blue shirt day, what happens? All of a sudden, that's what stands out to you.
So what you an have incredible to be analogy.
Intentional. I mean, so listen, true. You can buy the shampoo too. They have great shampoo. And it's direct to market. People think it's like leftover stuff. Nope, they sell directly. It's the same stuff as in the salons.
Dad. Tired of licorice? Want a fancy dress?
That analogy is fantastic. It's so true. Yeah. It's like you have to really have your filters on going in and being like, this is what I'm looking for. If not, it's so easy to just get swept up in that. It's like the chemical thing that happens when you walk into a TJ Maxx. Same thing when you meet a guy.
Like, oh my God, I obviously need another sweater, except I have 18 of the same style at home. You don't need another narcissist. Nobody does.
Something happens when you're in that environment. All the Black Friday sales just happened. I was in Sacramento for shows and I walked into the mall and Abercrombie & Fitch has made this full big comeback where they've got all this cute shit now. And I walked in and everything was 30% off. And I just started picking things up like, well, I think that'd be cute. Yeah, that's cute too. And I bought a bunch of shit I didn't need. I went back to the hotel room, tried some of it on and was like, what are you doing? And I went back the next day and returned half of it because I was like,
good for you.
What happened? I was drunk in there. I think I was like drunk or drugged, but something happened and I was not in the right frame of mind. But you're right. Yes. If I had gone in and been like, I am buying one shirt because I want one new shirt, as opposed to like, let's just see. Oh, it's 30% off. Let me buy a bunch of shit I don't need. And it's the same fucking thing.
Yep. Yeah. If you don't know what you're looking for, you could end up with, you know, some chapstick from TV Next or whatever. Like it's so true. And there's so many distractions because there's so many options of people that it's like you're like constantly weighing the pros and cons for each type of person or lifestyle or career or whatever. So it's like you have to step out of that kind of chaos to really get in touch with yourself. Like what is actually, what are my values with no other external kind of input? What do I give a shit about? And how can I find that? You know, who am I looking for in that sense? I'm curious. I love the fact that you said sometimes you just got to think with your body, because sometimes you just know by the way you feel and you don't have to rationalize anything in your head. And I think that's so important, where there's been instances where I just don't feel right around somebody, whether I feel like I have to walk on eggshells or, you know, whatever, uncomfortable. And I don't even maybe know why.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to use both. Like I don't want you just thinking with just your body, because right. that will lead you to the hot person that's going to break your heart. But I do think that we have reactions to people. Like we have a gut for a reason, and it does take a while. And a lot of people ask, they're like, what's the difference between fear and intuition? And that's really practice. That's practice of trusting yourself and leaning into it. But there are so many times where you know you have a gut feeling that something's off, and it oftentimes is. You have to be able to ask yourself, you know, and a lot of times, unfortunately, it's around an infidelity. People feel something, and you have to figure out, like, am I just being insecure? And that's where that kind of 48 hour rule is like, okay, was I just a little off, or is this something real? And you have to trust yourself and know that there are feelings, and you're picking up on, it's not just like some woo stuff. You're picking up on so many subconscious cues that you can't even consciously process. So understanding that, like, energy is real. Like how you feel about someone is very real. You just have to begin to practice to have some distinctions between them.
Yeah. Mm. I just saw a video on TikTok, I think it was yesterday, talking about the difference in a successful relationship versus one that maybe ends is seeing somebody having bad character traits versus bad qualities. I think it's how they described it. I'm probably butchering it a little bit. But trying to be able to discern the difference in somebody with something they can't change about them that's part of their character versus something like their communication is maybe not what works best for you. Can you explain that a little bit and like what you see are maybe some of the biggest reasons why relationships end or things that people have trouble changing?
Yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because obviously there are things that are us, and that is, you know, our character of who we are and makes us up. It's our personalities. A lot of that stuff isn't going to change. But there are things like you just mentioned, communication or, you know, attention and things like that, that can change. But we also don't want to invest in someone who's not willing to change, because oftentimes they'll say, well, that's a malleable trait, but they're not doing anything and they're not going to do anything. So then you end up in the same spot. So it's really important. Yes, there are some things that are adaptable and can change to benefit your relationship, but they have to put that effort in to do so. And there could be somebody with really terrible communication that says, F it. Like, I don't want to. Like, I like the way I communicate. I'm hot. which is pretty much, you know, how, like, I've had conversations that sound like that with people. I'm like, okay, you live your life, dude.
I've got some other problems in addition to not communicating.
Right. Yeah. I was like, we're going to work only. On, I'm going to just step slowly away from that situation. But you know, one of the things that I preach and I too stand by the most is the difference between a relationship that's successful and one that's not is effort. It's effort every step of the way. Like you have to put the effort in. And there was a quote that I posted recently that was, you know, the biggest mistake that you could make is meeting someone extraordinary and then starting to treat them ordinary. And
it's a good one. Delicious. So
we can't do that. If we meet extraordinary people, you have to continue to treat them like that.
Love that. Yeah. So good. I have a question. Let's say that somebody has recognized that they're in a like toxic relationship or something that's not working, but they feel very overwhelmed with how do I get out of this? Or what do I change? What do I do? What's like one baby step they can take if they feel like they're kind of stuck?
Support and accountability, I think, is so important, especially for people who feel like it's just this huge hurdle or huge challenge. And listen, there's a lot of situation that it's really hard to leave. Kids, money, you know, homelessness. So, like, there's legit things that really do get in the way of people leaving situations that are not only just toxic, but sometimes abusive. And so I have so much empathy. But if you're going to take a first step, it's really finding that support system. And that could be from a friend. It could be from a family member. If it is a situation that's, you know, a far more dire and dark one, there are groups and there are organizations that are out there to help. So really recognizing and just starting to reach out to the potential help that is around you, not only it gives you the strength, because I do think that there is a strength in that feeling of somebody has my back, because it's not my relationship. And, you know, you can have somebody who takes those steps with you, so you don't feel so alone.
Mm. Yeah.
So good.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have one more question too. In your coaching, how common is it for you to have people come in who one partner wants kids and the other doesn't, and trying to navigate that whole conversation?
Yeah. So I don't coach any, I haven't coached privately in probably like 5 or 6 years, but, I mean, I get questions like that all the time on my socials. And obviously, you know, back when I was, that was a challenge, especially for daters, because people would say, you know, I met this great person, but they don't want kids, and they wanted kids. And, you know, that's a deal breaker. That is not something, we do not change people's minds when we are creating humans. This isn't like a, maybe I'll just stick around and they'll change. And I'm not saying that that hasn't happened, because it absolutely has. And there's circumstances that prove otherwise. But if you are entering a relationship and you know something like that, you know, something that's really a huge deal, this isn't like they'll never eat peanut butter. This is, they do not want a child. That's something you have to respect. And, you know, I have a huge challenge with people who think that they can change someone's mind on that, because that there's a reason why they're choosing to do that and choosing to make that decision. And that can be explored, because a lot of times, and I've heard this many times, is where someone doesn't want to have kids because they had shitty parents. And so maybe that's something that they can explore and understand and maybe work through, but you can't bet on that. You know, you can't bet on somebody changing an enormous life decision in order to decide whether or not to have a relationship with them. It has to, you have to trust people at their word when it comes to those things. And if they change and come back, then that's one thing. But if one party really wants and needs to have kids and the other one is not interested, the compromise is no kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, such a good question. I got so many questions just on that topic, because we've talked a lot about this on this show. This is something that I feel like people don't talk about very openly. However, there's so many freaking support groups and like underground groups about it, of people who at some point regret having kids and they feel like they can't tell anybody. Yet there's so many of them, because we've just shunned them, that they're a bad person. Have you ever come across somebody like that? And how can they help themselves, or even in their relationship, if it's affected their relationship dynamic, has that ever happened throughout your career?
I haven't had someone as a client that did that, that got into, you know, a relationship, had children and regretted it. But I've seen, you know, I've witnessed it and I've seen the stories of it. And TikTok is where I really learn everything in my life at this point. Yeah, but, you know, it's real. Like, these people are real and these are real stories. And oftentimes there's just so much resentment that comes in, because if they, you know, whether they were tricked into having children, especially, you know, as a man thinks the wife is on birth control and all of a sudden she's not, and poof comes out a child, you know, it's understandable to have those feelings of resentment. So my gosh, there's so much to unpack there of, you know, the party that deceived, or the party that is, you know, that wanted and got what they wanted, needs to kind of fall on their sword and understand that this is something that, you know, they need to take responsibility for if it was a deceitful way, or maybe it just happened and they decided to keep it and, you know, now have this situation where they're not fully invested. You know, it's a hard thing, and I'm a mom. So I think of it from so many different perspectives, and my personal perspective of, you know, I think once you also create a human, you have some responsibility for their mental health and their, you know, their feelings of love. So part of it's like trying to get over that, at the same time, I'm like, I don't even know, like I'd have to take it step by step on that one. Cause you know, it's hard to show love when you feel resentful of something.
Yeah.
And that just sucks for, it sucks for everybody.
Right.
And the kids didn't do anything wrong, which,
right,
you know, that's the part that breaks my heart. It's like, what do you do? And how do you protect their hearts?
Yeah. Do you have any advice for couples who have kids and don't regret having kids, but it has negatively impacted their marriage or their relationship? How do you, I mean, to me, honestly, that is a fear of mine of potentially having kids someday is, you know,
those fuckers take over.
No, I'm kidding. You know, my parents are divorced. I have a lot of divorce in my family and I see a lot of divorce in my life. And I see a pattern sometimes of people having kids and then that happening. And I can't imagine how it wouldn't be a very, very hard thing on a relationship. And I just wondered if you have some things that you tell people to help navigate that.
Yeah. Well, one, I think your partner's still first. I think everybody's like, all of a sudden, this baby comes out and they go above all. And yes, they are very important and they are a close second. But they leave you. my son is 21. We have 21, 18, 15, and 11. We have a blended family. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
The 11-year-old's already ignoring us. You know what I mean? So like, if you invest all of your attention and everything and make it everything about the kids, all of a sudden they move out and you're alone and you don't know your partner. And even along the way, you start to drift apart because you're not putting the effort in. It goes back to, you know, what I said before about the biggest way to save a relationship and the biggest indicator of whether it's going to work is who's putting effort in. Are they both putting effort into this relationship? And if you are, you're going to find time beyond just children. Yes, they do take over your lives, but you figure out ways to prioritize your relationship and you figure out ways to prioritize each other. And you do the things that you did before you had kids. And yes, you're exhausted sometimes. And yes, sometimes you get a pass, but you know, intimacy has to continue. Like that is a, you know, unless you're asexual, I have so many caveats now because there's always,
Disclaimer.
Yeah, you sound like us. We do that all the time on the podcast. We're like, unless you're,
Throw this. And I'm like, again, from TikTok, I was like, there's a lot of asexual people out here. They could care less if they have sex for the rest of their lives, which is totally fine. But like, for the larger percentage of the population, you know, you have to continue to be intimate. You have to continue to put that effort in and recognize that yes, your kids are freaking important. You created them. You're responsible for them. But you're still responsible for nurturing the relationship.
Yeah.
So good. I have another selfish question because my husband and I have decided not to have kids. And I'm so curious to know throughout like your work as a speaker or coach in the past, how many people have come to you or does it seem like there's a large percentage of people who regret not having kids?
No, you guys are living your best life.
Oh my God.
No, like I'm 60 something and I really wish in our 20s, you know?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm just jealous.
This is fascinating to me. Oh my God. Please tell me everything of your experiences with this.
I want to know.
I mean, maybe there are people. Listen, there's always going to be somebody I have a friend who every decision, like she could be picking like vanilla or chocolate and she'll regret it for the rest of the day. There's going to be people that regret or look at things and listen, kids are awesome and amazing, but like if you're making a conscious decision over something, I don't see a whole lot of people coming and saying, oh my gosh, I wish I had done this. What I do see, and this is that this one is a little bit more heartbreaking, is someone who didn't get married or didn't find their partner and had lost that window. Mm-hmm. And so they biologically were not able to. And then in their 50s and 60s are like, that's my biggest regret is not having a child. That I see often. No, you guys are just drunk and you're all over the place.
Having a good old time.
How did you know?
You read me. You read me like a book.
Oh my gosh. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelsey, any other questions?
I mean, I could ask you a million.
We could be here all day.
Yeah, I so appreciate you coming on and giving us your time. And
so good.
You got it. This was a blast.
Yeah. Lending us your brain for an hour. It was really, really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
Rachel, do you want to leave anybody with like any kind of last thoughts, words of wisdom, anything? And then also where people can find you and your work and your book and everything.
No, I mean, I guess I just want people to live their lives the way they feel best. You know, I think we stop shoulding. There's no more shoulds. Like, do what feels good to you. I mean, within reason.
Right.
I don't know. Like, if cycle killing felt good to you, I feel like maybe we should work on that. But right. No, I feel like it's just be your own person, make your own decisions, and allow those voices to quiet in your head, and you'll be in a good place moving forward. But yeah, I'm Rachel D'Alto everywhere. My book Relatable is on everywhere books are sold.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much. This was so great. I learned a shit ton.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right.
So
Rachel.
Fun. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, talk Rachel. Soon. Have a good one.
Bye. Oh my gosh. Can Rachel be our new best friend, please?
Please. Just a third mic on the show always. I am going to go back and listen to the first 10 minutes I missed.
So good.
Because you were like, the things that you said that you guys talked about, I was like, well, shit, I want to hear about all that.
Oh, yeah. She just absolutely crushed it. One thing that is a huge takeaway for me is that she said every relationship kind of issue or whatever healthy relationships are based on, all of it stems from worth and self-worth. So that really dictates everything and how you show up in a relationship and also how people treat you in a relationship. So that I feel like is such a big takeaway that we can all really think about going forward, no matter what the relationship is.
Wow. Love that.
Love the simplification of it, baby. I mean, as a business simplicity coach, I really appreciate that shit when there is like one main nugget, one main takeaway that I will always really remember about a specific topic. And I think that's an excellent one.
Absolutely. And I've said this quote several times on the podcast, and I say it on stage as part of a joke about therapy, but I love the quote that says, once you know your worth, you'll stop giving people discounts.
Yes.
Because if you don't have your worth in the right place, you are going to overlook shit. It's kind of like what we talked about with her, the TJ Maxx analogy,
yes,
and me going into Abercrombie & Fitch. It's like, if you don't have your worth in the right place, if you are not zeroed in on what you know you deserve, that's right, when you get kind of loosey-goosey with your boundaries and you're like, well, I'll make an exception for this, or they're really hot, so I'll like overlook this problem or whatever. And you got to know your worth. You fucking have to.
And I feel like it's why it's so important to really get to know yourself outside of a relationship too, because then you know what you're looking for because you know yourself too. And you really know what you need and what doesn't work for you and all of that. So yeah, she blew my mind. She crushed it.
I cannot wait to go listen to the first 10 minutes again.
You'll enjoy it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like a bunch of rapid fire questions. Like, okay, let me pull out my list of 150 questions that I jot it down.
Atta girl. Atta girl.
Shall we read the iTunes review of the episode?
Yes, we have. This is from MallowKitty9. They say, I'm a new fan. I was introduced to this podcast in the midst of a breakup. Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah.
And was told to listen to the episode, How to Heal a Broken Heart. I have been hooked ever since. Thank you for your humor, vulnerability, and authenticity. Self-Helpless is funny and refreshing while engaging in important conversations. I love listening in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very nice.
MallowKitty9. Meow. So much. That is so cool when they list like a specific episode that they kind of found or threw them in. And hopefully you're enjoying this episode too, all about relationships and earth and all of that. So thank you so much. Kels, any segments or hot plugs or hot
you guys, this again, this is coming out a while after it actually happened because we just in real time, it was just Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We're coming off of Thanksgiving weekend right now.
Yeah.
So I got to meet my baby niece for the first time.
Oh, that's right. Oh my gosh. Was it amazing?
Oh my God. Dude, let me tell you.
So freaking cute. Those pictures you showed me. Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with her. I know I'm biased because she's my niece, but she is such a beautiful, perfect, adorable baby Gap baby. She is a teeny tiny little baby model. Here's what happened. I didn't know how I was going to react to seeing her.
Yeah.
I try to FaceTime with her most days and just be able to like wave at her and, you know, make kissy faces and all that.
Yeah.
I walked in. I saw her and it was like I was meeting a celebrity. Because I've only seen photos and videos. There's been all this buildup of meeting her. She's like a little celebrity in my mind. I saw her. I burst into tears. It was like I was fully meeting Justin Timberlake. I saw her. I dropped all my belongings. I burst into tears. And then here's the problem. When a baby's 3 months old, they're doing a lot of mimicking and like they're very emotional. So yeah. She was totally fine. She had gotten there from my dad's from this long car ride. She's doing great. She sees me burst into tears.
Oh my God.
I look at her. Her bottom lip starts quivering. And I'm like, oh no. She bursts into tears. And then she did not stop crying for like an hour. Like nobody could get her to calm down. I upset her so much with my emotional reaction to her. I was like, God damn it, Kelsey. Just really... Smooth moves as an aunt right out the gate.
Yeah, she's already your mini me, basically. Just wow, already copying everything you do.
Can't cry without this baby crying.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I just picture you, just sweaty tears, just a mess. Meeting her,
makeup ruined immediately. It is such a strange sensation to see a tiny person that looks like your family.
Yeah.
Because she looks like my mom. She looks like my brother. She looks like me. Yeah. And it's very bizarre. And I think it just was very overwhelming. It was like I was in a weird dream.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to calm down and actually hold her and hang out with her?
Oh my God, of course. Yeah. When I say I burst into tears, I wasn't like hysterical or anything, but it was I cried for a few seconds, and then I got it together, especially once I realized that she was crying. I was like, okay, Kelsey, stop crying, because now she's crying. But yeah, I had such a magical day meeting her. I'm going to go visit them again soon, and I just it was great. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Del, what's something that's going on with you?
I got a tattoo. I don't think we've recorded together since I've gotten a fucking tattoo.
Yes, you did get a tattoo. Show the people of YouTube.
I gotta take my shirt off for this one, YouTube. Oh, you're welcome.
You don't have to tell Delaney twice. If we know anything about Delaney over the years,
I'll do that shit for free.
You'll do that shit for meatball recipe.
That's true. So I have, it's kind of hard to see, but this is an idea that I've had since I was 18 when I was like my first year of college. But it's a mixture of all of my grandparents' handwritings and my grandpa's favorite signature word of absolutely. So it says absolutely, but the left side are my grandfather's handwriting and the right side are my grandmother's handwriting. And I pieced it together with different greeting cards and letters and stuff like that and strung it together. Originally it was just going to be my grandpa's thing, but I was like, why don't just throw everybody in there? You know, let's just take care of all the grandparents in one tattoo. I got freaking tatted, you guys. So crazy. And I think the last time that we recorded together, one of the last times I was talking about how, you know, I say absolutely, or, you know, absolutely is such a distinct word for me because of my grandpa. And now it's tattooed on my arm.
It looks so good on you. You're absolutely rocking that tattoo. And you know what's funny is you over the years, sometimes, I don't know if you joke about it on the podcast, but you'll joke about it with me. Like you'll like forget to have shaved your armpit.
Oh yeah.
And you just got a tattoo in a spot where when you show people, you have to do this.
You have entered into a new realm of responsibility that you, I don't know if you're prepared for.
You know what's so funny? I keep forgetting I have a tattoo, and then I'll like put my hair up in a bun and I'm like, oh my God, my tattoo, I forgot. And I'm like, oh my God, my armpits, I gotta shave them. It's like the most permanent reminder that to shave my armpits. So Cam, you're welcome. Everybody else, you're welcome. But yeah, my pits are going to be really, really clean and clear going into 2022. But yeah, I was shocked by how I thought it was going to be so painful. And I was so scared, and
it was
pretty easy. And especially a lot of people freaked me out about this location. They're like, oh, it's going to be so sensitive and horrible. But I, unless I just had like the most incredible tattoo artist on the planet, which he was amazing, but I could totally do it again.
Wow.
I could totally do it again. I'm like, I might be a tat person, you guys. I might have more tats coming up, but we'll
see. I could totally see you with that. Maybe you have a high pain tolerance too.
Maybe. It was also really fun. I went with my cousins. We all got a different version of my grandpa's handwriting on us.
Love
so
that.
It was really, really such a cool experience. And, I just like, it was such a blast. So different than what I thought it would be. And yeah. I haven't gotten a chance to tell anybody this, but, I just want to thank you all so much for the messages that you sent me when you heard about my grandfather passing away. I cannot tell you how much that meant to me. I got emails, I got Instagram messages that I was made aware of. I got all these different things in my inbox. And I just think like our community is so incredible. Like the fact that you took the time out of your day to write me those like sweet messages and letters, like especially because I'm off the grid. So it's like, it's hard to kind of, I'm not as easily accessible
right
as I used to be. So like, you really had to like sit down and write an email and find my, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you. That was just so kind. And one thing that I've really kind of, I feel like I've experienced now is kind of the full benefit of being an entrepreneur and having like this kind of working for ourselves lifestyle that we have. Like I feel like I've reaped the benefits in other ways. Like, oh my God, it's so fun and freedom to go on vacation. I could work from the beach. Right. But this is like, it's just solidified. Like this is giving me the freedom to like be there with my loved ones, like at the end of their life. You know what I mean? Like I can't believe I was able to just take a week off, take days off, go over there, spend the nights. And like, I can't believe that, you know, my job gives me that kind of freedom. And that was like that really hit me really hard recently. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, my grandma is now, you know, she's older as well. And the fact that I can just go over there and spend the night for a couple nights if I want or whatever. It just feels like, yeah, I'm just so very grateful. It's been fucking hard building this, but like, I'm so grateful.
So worth it.
To have that kind of freedom. And I don't think I've really experienced it on that type of level yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, that's really been kind of a big, I know we're in the new year now, but that's really been a big takeaway for me.
Yeah.
In 2021.
Yeah, for sure. That I experienced that with a family member in the hospital for 5 months, where you're like, if I had a 9-to-5, this would not be possible.
Right.
And, the upsides to being your own boss are pretty extraordinary. So I feel fortunate every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're out there pursuing the same thing, just keep that freedom piece in mind. Cause I think that for me has been a really driving force, for all the ups and downs of entrepreneurship and, you know, so
for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
our
listeners are amazing. Thank you so much, you guys, for being with us. We just crossed 5 million downloads.
Crazy.
Which is insane. I mean, we're so lucky. We truly love each and every one of you so much. And just thank you. Thanks for wanting to be part of our community and listening in. And
yeah. Seriously. And Kels, one more time, where can people find you?
KelseyCook.com for those tour date tickets, guys. You can also follow me on Instagram @KelseyCookComedy and on TikTok @KelseyCookComedy.
Beautiful. And you can check out Delaney Fisher. If you are an entrepreneur and you're looking for like a lot more freedom in your life, Efficionado, the podcast, is where we do all that stuff. It's all about it. So feel free to come join us over there.
Yay.
All right.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless Podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.